reason we give you that threat choice is that these hearings are being recorded, and if this has not been resolved, then the prosecutor or your attorney can ask to use to get a copy of these proceedings. If it's already been resolved, then it's not necessary, but we still give you that choice. After I read each of them, true, false, or I plead the fifth. Do you understand, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the first one reads, you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 7. As demonstrated by your use of opiates without a valid prescription on or about October 30th, 2017, per the task lab report dated October 31, 2017. True, false, or do you plead the fifth?
True.
Thank you, sir. The next one reads that you are in violation of Arizona Conditions of Supervision number 5, as demonstrated by your act of punching a hole through a wall using your fists on or about October 31st, 2017, at Behavior Systems Southwest, located at 6420 South Park Avenue in Tucson, Arizona. Sir, is that true, false, or do you plead the fifth?
That's false.
That is false. Okay. Well, please hold on. We're going to get some information, testimony coming from the Department of Corrections. And once we get that information, we'll be back to you, sir. So just remain quiet at this time. And at this time, Mr. Westby will provide us with some testimony on allegation number 2. Thank you so very much, Mr. Westby. And now we're back to you, sir. Why did you say that that allegation was false?
Because I had nothing to do with that hole. There's a bunch of women, there's a bunch of grown individuals in there that, you know, you get a bunch of men and a woman and things happen, whatnot, but I do admit that I should have reported it, the whole, for it being there, you know what I mean? That's one of my mistakes and one thing that I regret not doing, you know what I mean? But I personally didn't hit the wall, but the whole had been there, and I made a mistake in not reporting it to staff, saying that, you know what I mean, that there had been an accident there or whatever had happened.
Was the hole already there when you moved into that area? Was it already there, sir?
No. The hole wasn't there.
So what, one of your roommates or your dorm mates actually punched it and you just didn't report it?
No. Nobody punched it. There was some horse playing going on in my area, and they knew it's foul right there. They didn't mean the dude busted his elbow, but I made the absolutely wrong choice in not to report it. Like I didn't think anything of it, but I should have reported it.
Okay, sir, I do understand. Any questions or discussion on allegation number two, Honorable Mr. Neal?
Sir.
Okay, then in order to move this forward, I'm going to offer a motion at this point, and my motion will be based upon allegation number one, will be based upon the admission of Mr. DeMara, and as it relates to allegation number two, that will be based upon information contained in warrant number 2017 W362, Department of Correction, to Mr. Westby. And my motion will be to find that Mr. DeMar violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapsed in criminal ways, and I further move to revoke his community supervision based upon the same.
Second.
Thank you. And now we will go into phase two here. The board has determined that you violated the terms and conditions of your supervision, and now we're going into phase two of your hearing. Now, in phase two, the board will make a determination whether you violated or whether you should be revoked, or your community supervision, that is, should be revoked, or whether you should remain on community supervision. Therefore, we're going to ask you to remain quiet as the board goes into, we get this information from the Department of Corrections. And once we get this information, then we'll be back to you just to talk to you and get further information from you. So at this time, we're going to ask Mr. Westby if he would be kind enough to provide us with some background information at this time. Thank you so much, Mr. Westby. Okay, Mr. DeMara, we're back to you, sir. Seems to me that when you were released to stay with your grandmother up there, Maria DeMara, up in over in Yuma, Arizona. How long did you remain there, sir, at your grandmother's residence?
I was right there for approximately 3 months, and then from there, I got sent to BSS for a month.
Okay, sir. And so we trust that everything worked out just fine with you, with your grandmother. It's always good to be with relatives. Did you have any employment while you were out, sir?
No, sir.
No employment. Why you didn't? Did you seek any employment, or you just couldn't find any, or you just didn't look for any?
I was in the middle of taking classes at the time, but I was seeking employment, but it was kind of hard for me at the time because I currently don't have a license, so I was steadily, holding on my people to get me around.
Okay, I understand. There's no requirement that you would have employment. We're just always interested to know if there is employment out there once you're out. Okay, now you was assigned a task for your substance abuse screening, and it seems that while you were there, that you was referred to Horizon Human Health Services for substance abuse programming. Did you complete that programming, sir?
I didn't complete the programming, but But I was taking my classes.
Okay, sir. And I see that you submitted 5 oral fluid samples, and I believe 3 of them tested negative, which was good, but the other 2 didn't test negative. One test for cocaine, the other one for methamphetamine. Do you have a problem with drugs, sir?
Yes, sir, I do.
What you doing to address that those problems, sir?
As of being in here or out there?
Well, either way, both. You know, I mean, because that's something that you really need to address, because you don't need to, you know, continue to use cocaine or methamphetamine or any other drug, sir.
What I'm really hoping on is seeking rehab, you know, because, like, I have a letter that I wrote to you guys, and I want to know if you guys, whenever you guys can, if you guys can give me a chance to read it to you.
Yes, sir, we received your letter, and we also received one from your mother. So, yes, sir, we have your letter, and we got your mother's letter as well, sir. So we certainly appreciate your letter, and we appreciate the one that was submitted by your mother. And, you know, and both of them, you know, kind of address that issue of your drug use. And I'm just wondering, you know, I know you wanted to get into a program, but I believe that that your parole officers were trying to work with you while you were out, and in fact they sanctioned you to report to that behavior systems of Southwest for 5-day sanctions, and then they referred you to a 90-day substance abuse program as an intervention. And but apparently those programs just didn't work. Am I correct, sir?
Yes, sir. I was just from being incarcerated for so long, 8 years. It's maybe my first time I've ever done this much time. I came out thinking everything's gonna be smooth, and I just reality hit me. And if you look at my prison record, I got. Nothing violent in here. It's all pretty much dirties for using, and I was afraid of change. You know what I mean? Because I've been under influence pretty much since the age of 14, and I made the wrong choices out there, and I just kept using, and. My parole officers, they were there to help me, but I made the wrong choice and just kept using, and I just would really like help, you know what I mean?
Well, I'm going to say this to you, sir. You're going to have to make up your own mind to get that help. You know, I mean, yes, your parole officers can help you, your mother can help you, and we as a board of executive policy, we can help you, but until you decide within yourself that you really going to change, you're not going to change until then. It's something that you're going to have to work on in terms of your mindset, in terms of your behavior, because there are always going to be drugs out there, whether you're incarcerated, whether you're walking down the streets in Tucson or in Phoenix or wherever you are, drugs are always there, but you're going to have to be strong enough to resist the use of drugs, you know, and I know you can do it. I mean, you're still a young man. You can do it, sir. But now you just got to make up your own mind. Otherwise, you're going to end up continuing to use drugs. And I take note that you're going to have a birthday just next week, and you will be 30 years of age next week. That's time for you to wake up, sir. Well, we wish you a happy birthday next week, sir. But you're going to have to wake up and start just saying, I'm not going to use drugs anymore. But at this time, I'm going to see if my distinguished, outstanding colleague, the Honorable Mr. Neal, have any questions for you, sir.
No, sir, no questions at this time.
Okay, no questions at this time. Therefore, we're going to move on. And Mr. Morrow, we're going to see if you have anything else you want to tell the board without repeating yourself before the board goes into discussion and makes its determination. Anything else you want to tell the board at this time, sir?
Just thank you for hearing me out and giving me another opportunity to you know what I mean, hear my case, and I just really appreciate it, and I hope I hope for the best right now.
Thank you so very much, sir. And at this time, the board is going into discussion. We're going to ask that you remain quiet while the board is in discussion. And following this discussion, we'll be back with you to make a decision. And so you please stay on the phone because we operate under the open meeting law and you can hear everything that we say, sir. So now the board is in discussion. I find that Mr. Guevara is a young man who really wants to do the right thing as it relates to drug, because I think the drug has been a problem not only for his behavior, but also for his aggravated assaults. And I know that he can do it because back in 06, he completed his community supervision of parole at that time. He just has to make up his own mind. And this time it just did not work out for him. And I just hope that he gets the message now so that in the future he won't make the same mistakes over and over again. But I think that it would be in his best interest as well as the interest of the citizens of Arizona if he would just go ahead and complete this sentence. I know it's about 6 months, but if he completes it successfully, or when he completes it successfully, then when he gets out, he won't have to report to a parole officer. He will be on his own, and hopefully by then he will take some programs that are in Tucson, NA, or AA programs, or get involved in some vocational programming, so that when he gets out, he'll be ready to be a productive citizen. That's my feeling, but I'm also, at this time, to see if my distinguished colleague may have something else to offer. Honorable Mr. Neal.
No, I agree with you, Dr. Wright.
Okay, well, thank you so very much. Therefore, I'm going to offer a motion to find that Mr. DeMar violated the terms and conditions of supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into, or well, he did lapse into criminal weight because he used those illegal substances, both cocaine and methamphetamine. Therefore, I move to revoke his community supervision based upon the same.
Second.
Okay. Sir, your community supervision has been revoked. You will be getting out on June the 23rd, 2018, about a little more than 6 months from now. Please take serious what the board has said to you and put together a plan. Just write down a plan and stick to it and just stop using drugs and stop and don't be aggressive anymore in terms of your behavior. And I guarantee you, you will feel better and you will be a proud person as you turn 30 years of age on next week. Good luck, sir, and your hearing is over.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
No, what's your name, sir?
My name is Michael Hanna, ABC number 294-183.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Neal will conduct your hearing, sir, and so just hold one moment. He's getting his paperwork together, and he's writing things down, so he will be with you very shortly, sir.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, good afternoon, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Good afternoon. Yes, sir.
All righty. Can you state your full name and DOC number for the record, please?
Yes, sir. It's Michael Thomas Hanna, DOC number 294-183.
Okay, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce the board members at this time. To my left is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chairman. My name is David Neal. I'm the panel chairman today. Also in the room, we have Mr. Westby from the Department of Corrections, and he also represents the parole office. Prior to this hearing, you signed and received a notification form advising you of the board hearing. Do you remember that form, sir?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, on that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, or are you representing yourself today, sir?
Self-representation, sir.
Okay, I need to swear you and Mr. Westby in. So do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
I do.
Okay, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, sir. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. Phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. Before we move into phase two, I got all confused here. We're going to go into phase one, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the allegation that's on your warrant, and once I'm done reading, I'm going to ask you whether it is true or false. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. You have one allegation on your warrant, which is a violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 3, as demonstrated by your changing your place of residence from 9945 East Basque Place, or is that Bosque Place in Tucson, Arizona, on or about October 8, 2017, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts were unknown, so thus you were an absconder from supervision. Is that true or false, sir?
True, sir.
Okay. Based on the admission of Mr. Hanna, I move to find Mr. Hanna a delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Okay, sir, one moment. All right, we're going to move into phase two, but before we start that, we're going to get some information from Mr. Westby. So I want you to stand by there, listen on the phone, and we'll be back to you in a couple of minutes.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Westby. Thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Hanna, I'm going to go over some information that we have on you here. You were pre-approved to reside at the Paxton House, 3108 East Glen in Tucson, Arizona. You were discharged from this house on June 20th, 2017. On June 28, 2017, you were approved to reside with Stephen and Jade Hutchison. And then on 8-3-2017, you were approved to live... Well, I see with your parents, Carol and David Hanna. And no other address was requested or approved for the offender. Did you stay there with your parents that whole time, or did you go somewhere else, sir?
I stayed there up until the date of absconding, which was, to my recollection, October 12th, 2017. And at that time, I had lost my job, and I removed myself from my parents out of acts of PTSD from the Marine Corps, sir. Just self-depression, didn't want to be around my parents, didn't want to feel like I was letting them down or anything.
Said you were employed by Altec Gate Company as a welder?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
Were you did you have that trade before you were originally incarcerated, or is that something you
learned
in DOC?
I learned that in DOC, sir. And I plan to follow up. The veterans on West Elm facility is explaining to me about the Gladiator program that the VA helps out with getting rehabilitated inmates into the Iron Workers Union. And it's something that I'm really looking forward to trying out.
Okay. All right. You were originally referred to task for their color of the day program with an assigned color of mint. Your color was changed to moss on June 12, 2017, after you admitted to relapsing. Then the offender provided three specimens for testing that were negative, and as directed by the color line on 6/15, 8/15, 8/29 of 2017. And then the offender failed to provide a specimen for testing when his color was called on July 3rd, 2017, July 20th, 2017, September 22nd, 2017, and September 25th, 2017. And you, let's see, you provided specimens for testing as directed by the PO that were negative on July 6th and July 24th. So I was just looking at the dates. So the two extras that you did were probably to replace two of the ones you missed, and they were negative.
Yes, sir. I was actually working for a company called Flex Fabrication at the time, and a lot of my work was up in Phoenix, and between long hours and everything like that, I just missed the dates. I let my parole officer know that I had missed the dates, and I was rescheduled and provided specimens at that time.
Okay. And it says you enrolled in the SB 1291 program at Sage Counseling. You completed the SB 1291 program on September 5th of 2017. Due to your admitted use of methamphetamine, you were directed to continue services with Sage Counseling after your completion date. So when you were violated, were you still with the SAGE program, still working on that?
Unfortunately, sir, I had no follow-up. I provided my case manager with the information she requested as far as signing up for continual classes, and I had no follow-up from her. And between losing my job and dealing with life for the first time in 3 years, I didn't get around to contacting them to follow up on classes. I was too worried about finding employment and being able to take care of my bills as a human being.
Okay. The original allegations had you placed at the address with your parents, and it says that you you changed your place of residence from there, but it doesn't say where. So why would your PO think you're not there anymore if you're still staying with your parents?
Because my parents hadn't seen me in a couple of weeks at that point in time. So they assumed that I had moved out.
Okay. All right, I'm going to see if Dr. Wright has any questions at this time.
No, sir. No, sir. Barbara, you have asked the most appropriate ones, sir.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Okay, sir. We're nearing the end of your hearing. The board will go into discussion in a moment to make a determination on your community supervision. But it's your hearing, so we'd like to give you an opportunity to give us any other information that you think we should have right now. We only ask that you don't repeat yourself.
Absolutely. All I would like to say is I know that I had screwed up by not reporting and not keeping in touch with my parole officer about my situation. I see it's a waste of time on my part as far as not following through with the programs offered, and I'm very regretful for being stubborn and childish when it comes down to it.
Okay. We'll be going into discussion to make a determination on this. While we're in discussion, we'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're talking to you, but we're not. We'll just be discussing it with, you know, before we take a vote. Please stay on the phone and listen. We will come to the open meeting law, so you're entitled to hear everything we have to say. And then once we've made a determination, I'll get back with you, and we'll finish the hearing then. Okay?
Thank you, sir.
All right. The board is now in discussion. Now, here's a young man that doesn't have an extensive record, but it seems in 2014 he doubled up on things. He wasn't out on community supervision very long before the problems started. With the abscond days and everything, I think that Mr. Hanna might be better served to finish his term in DOC, see if he can get some more programming with possibly the substance abuse, so that when he gets out, he won't have to worry about going down that path. Then he can put together a good plan, check on, if he's got employment that he can get when he gets out, but set up a good plan, and I think he would better serve that way. So I would make a motion to revoke the community supervision, but I'm more than willing to listen to any comments that Dr. Wright has to give me.
Well, I have none. You have said it so well, and I do agree with you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Based on everything in the hearing and the information in Warrant 2017W3609, I move to revoke community supervision of Mr. Hanna, as he was delinquent, violated terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in criminal ways or
company.
Second. Be with me just a moment, sir. Okay, sir, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. We don't take that as a negative necessarily. We're hoping that you can get a little bit more programming while you're in there before your release, down the lines of AA classes, NA classes, maybe substance abuse class. Get yourself prepared, because it is a big transition from inside the prison to outside.
Yes, sir.
On about July 4th, Independence Day, you'll be independent. You won't have
DOC
to deal with, and hopefully you've learned your lesson about criminal activity, so you won't be back in there, so you can go on to be a productive citizen, and we won't have to see you, and you won't have to see us again.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you for attending your hearing, and that will end your hearing. Thank you. Please put the CLC back on.
Yes, sir. Okay, no problem.
I take it that means this is this. Oh, yeah. Okay, sir. Would you state your full name and your DOC number for the record, please?
Yes, my name is Eric Ismael Montoya, 271207.
Thanks, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency today. I'm going to introduce the board members that are present. To my left is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chairman. My name is David Neal. I will be the panel chair today. Also in the room, we have Mr. Westby, who's from the Department of Correction, and he also represents the parole office.
Okay.
Prior to this hearing, you signed a notification form advising you of this board hearing. Do you remember that, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, on that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm just here by myself, sir.
All right. All right, I need to swear you and Mr. Westby in. So do both of you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
Sir, your hearing will be conducted in two phases today. Phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And in phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated.
Okay, sir.
With phase one, I am going to read the allegations on your warrant, and then I'm going to ask you for each allegation if it is true or false. You understand that, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, you have two allegations on your warrant. The first is a violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 12B, as demonstrated by your failure to reside at the Pima Reentry Center, located at 1275 West Star Pass Boulevard in Tucson, Arizona, on or about January 31st, 2017. Your whereabouts were unknown, and thus you were an absconder. Is that true or false, true, sir?
That is true, sir.
Thank you. Okay, the second allegation is a violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 12A, as demonstrated by your failure to complete the Pima Release Center Halfway House Program, located at 1275 West Star Pass Boulevard, Tucson, Arizona, as directed by your assigned parole officer on or about January 24th, 2017. Is that true or false, sir?
That is true, sir.
Thank you. Based on the admissions of Mr. Montoya, I move to find Mr. Montoya as delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Okay, sir, we're going to move into phase two in a minute to determine whether to revoke your community supervision or whether reinstate it. But before that, Mr. Westby is going to give us some more information, so just stand by there and we'll get right back to you.
Okay, sir. Just
sit up a little bit so we can see you, sir.
Yeah, I'm trying to. It's just that, like that, because of cuffs are right here. But can you see me better like that?
Yes, sir. That's perfect. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Excuse me, Mr. Westby.
This is my daughter. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, I'm going to go over some information that we have included in our packet. You are approved to reside with your mother in Arizona City, Arizona, when you first were released. Then on January 9th of 2017, you were approved to reside at the PRC at 1275 West Star Pass Boulevard in Tucson, Arizona. Now, were you still residing at the PRC when you were violated, sir?
When they picked me up, is that what you're talking about?
Okay, so they discharged you from there, and then it's when you went on your 200 plus day of sound.
No, to be honest, sir, I was there, and then I took off. Because what happened was I was residing with my mom at Arizona City, and then I went and I talked to my parole officer and I told her that I've been drinking. So then she sent me over there, and then I was there for until I guess the 28th, and then I absconded.
Okay. So what were you doing in that length of time, sir?
When I was off my absconding?
Yes.
I was out there, and then I had my girlfriend, and then he's not my biological son, but we were there, and then we got a place together and stuff like that. We're trying to get, because she lives in Phoenix, so she moved back to Tucson, and we're trying to get her stable. And then I ended up getting arrested for it, getting arrested over there. The cops showed up over there.
So were you working most of that time, or was she supporting you, or what?
She had a check, and she was supporting the actual monthly rent, and then I was just doing, like, labor, side labor for the manager over there.
Okay, but you were working some.
Yeah.
Okay, you weren't just staying home and watching TV.
No, I wasn't, sir. We had a kid to take care of.
Okay, well, that's always a good thing.
Yes, sir.
Programming, it says on December 8th of 2016, you were referred to a mental health provider. You were also referred to task for the color of the day program and assigned color of mint. It only shows that you submitted one specimen. It was negative, and it was on January 24, 17. So once you absconded, I guess you weren't getting any UAs to do there. It says you were referred to CAP, MRT, and TAT monitoring, but it doesn't give any other information about that. While you were absconding, were you doing drugs at all, sir?
No, sir, I wasn't. That's why they had me on mint. Like, the only thing, sir, that I ended up, when I got out of prison, I ended up drinking. And so before I got into a big old thing, that's when I went to Cindy, that was my parole officer, and I was honest with her, and I told her, I said, Cindy, I've been drinking. So instead of her violating me and sending me back, that's why she sent me down here to Tucson to that SAC rack or something like this called. But I'm not a big drug user or anything like that.
Right, because under your sanctions, it's showing January 7th of 2017, you were sanctioned to PRC sanction program for 3 days for your drug use.
Yeah, well, that was they're trying to say that because I was around a crowd, and they tried to say that I was under the influence of spice, and Don Brett was saying that if I didn't tell him that I was high or whatever, that he would end up sanctioning me or violating me. And I'm not going to lie, I did take a hit of the spice and everything like that, but I wasn't a big fool drug addict or anything like that, but that still doesn't make no excuse for my actions.
Okay, well, it says it, so the 7th of January, they referred you to that sanction program for 3 days, but then on the 24th of January, P.S. Verrett observed that your eyes were dilated and you were sweating, so he asked if you had used any illegal substance or smoked spice. Says that you admitted to smoking spice earlier that day. And then sanctions will be, says the following sanctions will be imposed as offender referred to sanction beginning that day of 3 days. You'll also be referred to ITH program, and you were directed to provide a urine sample to the PRC staff. And it says you were given a verbal reprimand for the above-mentioned violation, and then you were informed that if you fail to adhere to the conditions of supervision, that increased sanctions will be imposed. So,
yes, sir.
While you were there in the PRC, you admitted to doing a little spice, and then once you absconded, you didn't do any more drugs, no marijuana, nothing like that.
I didn't have the money for anything like that. Plus, I'm not a real big drug user, and then my girlfriend, she ended up coming back down to Phoenix, and it's not my biological son, but I consider him my son. We had him there, and then we ended up getting in a stable place, and I knew that I was on the run, and that I ended up getting arrested. So I didn't have like extra money or anything like that. Plus, like, before in the past, when I was younger, I was a marijuana smoker, but I was not a narcotics user or anything like that.
Okay. All right, I'm going to see if Dr. Wright has any questions at this time for you.
No, sir. I don't have any, sir.
Okay, now I won't ask as many next time. Okay, sir, we're coming to the end of your hearings. The board will go into discussion to make a final determination, but prior to us doing that, we'd like to give you an opportunity to tell us anything else you think that you would like us to know before we go into discussion. We only ask that you don't repeat yourself.
I know I do take full liability for my actions, and there ain't no excuse for anything of that. I don't want to drag your guys' time out or anything, so I do know I was in the wrong, and I appreciate you guys listening to what I have to say.
Okay. This has nothing to do with what we've been talking about, but I just noticed, is that a, what is that symbol on top of your head, the tattoo on your head?
Oh, it's a Lucci sign, it's for money.
Okay, it is a dollar sign. The angles, it was hard to tell if that was what it was or not. Okay, what the business at hand now. Okay, sir, the board is going to go in discussion. We'll be talking amongst ourselves to discuss this. You may think that we're talking to you, but we won't be. But we want you to stay on the phone and listen to what we have to say. And then once we've made our determination, I will get back with you, okay?
Okay, thank you, sir.
All right, board is in discussion. I don't know. This is another one of the unfortunate situations. Pretty good juvenile history with the Department of Corrections. Since he became an adult, most of the violations are stolen property, trafficking, those kind of things, which may or may not accompany drug abuse. But because of everything involved as a whole and the large amount of abscond days, I'm inclined to make a motion to revoke Mr. Montoya's community supervision and suggest to him that he put together a nice program for when he gets out in April, so that when he's done with DOC, he can move forward. I'm always willing to listen to my esteemed colleague, Dr. Wright.
Well, thank you, sir. I do agree with you. I think that in as much as you've absconded for 272 days, we just can't tolerate that. If it were not for that, I would be willing to go otherwise, because he seems to be a young man who's on his way, but he absconded for such a long period of time. So I agree with you, sir.
Thank you. Okay. Based on the information and discussion and all the information in Warrant 201C, 7W0599, I move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Montoya as he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in criminal ways or conduct.
Second.
One moment, sir. Okay, sir. The board has voted to revoke your community supervision. I hope you heard Dr. Wright's comment, because I agree with that. If it wasn't for the long abscond period, that 272 days being out of supervision, we would both be inclined to put you back out under community supervision, but we can't tolerate abscond days, especially not that many. However,
yes, sir.
You'll be released on or about April 6th of 2018, which is about 4 months away. And
yes,
at that time, you won't have to deal with DOC or us, anything like that. You'll have to deal with yourself primarily and make sure that you make the right decision so that you don't have to be back in Department of Corrections. And we certainly hope that we don't see you again in front of this board, because we wish you all the luck in the world. So do you understand?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, this will end your hearing.
Okay.
CO3 back on the phone.
Okay. Thank you, guys. You guys have a good day. Have a good day.
how do you want to do the waves?
Okay, you want to keep the numbers? You want me to read them? However you say. I'm with you, sir.
Well, makes me know, never mind.
Just tell me what number you have, and just tell me which one you have, and I'll just go ahead and read it.
Well, let's see. The one I got on top is Thompson.
Who?
Jess Thompson.
Give me 1 second, sir. From whom? I knew somewhere here.
Okay.
Good afternoon. This is a hearing, a revocation hearing for Mr. Jeff Thompson, ADC number 321838. He's waived his appearance before the board today, and he has one allegation on his warrant, and his warrant number is 2017W3642. And the allegation reads that he's in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 12C, as demonstrated by his act of changing his contact with known victim Kimberly Jackson at her residence located at 1338-4 Bonita Drive, Dawson Spring, Arizona, on or about October 27, 2017. I read the information contained in the aforementioned warning. Based upon that information, I move to find that Mr. Thompson violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
What do you want?
Well, you're doing a mass production on those, so once you get caught up there, then...
I'm ready whenever you are, sir.
Okay, how about Jade Hopes?
Hoops. This is a revocation hearing for hearing for Jade Hoops, H-O-O-P-E-S, ADC number 269579. This is a waive hearing. He has two allegations on warrant number 2017W1502. And the allegation reads, number one, that he's in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 7, as demonstrated by his use of heroin 6M on or about March 1st, 2017, per the TAS LCMS layout report dated April 7, 2017. The next one reads that he's in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 2, as demonstrated by his failure to follow the directives of his assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about April 11, 2017, as verbally directed on March 14, 2017. His whereabouts was unknown unless he was in a surrender from supervision. I read the information contained in the aforementioned warning, and based upon that information, I move to find that Mr. Hoop violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways. I further move to revoke his community supervision based upon the same.
Second. Ready? Richard Harris. Richard Harris. He's a movie star, isn't he?
Okay, this is a revocation hearing for Richard Harris, ADC number 163813. He waived his appearance before the board. He has five allegations on warrant number 2017W1201. And they read, number one, that he's in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 7, as demonstrated by his use of methamphetamine on or about March 13, 2017, for the task GCMS lab report dated March 31st, 2017. The next allegation is that he is in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 7, as demonstrated by his failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about March 20th, 2017, for the task individual testing compliance summary dated April 6, 2017. The next one reads that he's in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 7, as demonstrated by his use of opiates without a valid prescription on or about March 13, 2017, per the task lab report dated March 31st, 2017. The next one reads that he's in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 4, as demonstrated by his failure to attend substance abuse counseling on or about March 2nd, 2017, as directed. And finally, that he's in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 3, as demonstrated by his act of changing his place of residence at 660 A Street in Mojave Valley, Arizona, on or about March the 21st, 2017, without the prior approval of his assigned parole officer. His whereabouts was unknown, thus he was in a surrender from supervision. I read the information contained in the aforementioned warrant there, and I moved to find that he's in violation of the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways. I further moved to revoke his community supervision based upon the same.
Second.
This time, sir.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Nicholas Curry.
Okay. This is a revocation hearing for Nicholas Curry, ADC number 295254. He's waived his appearance before the board today. And he has one allegation on warrant number 2017W0017. And the allegation reads that he's in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 2, as demonstrated by his failure to follow the directives of his assigned parole officer by failing to report for a face-to-face contact visit on or about December 14, 2016, as verbally directed on November 15, 2016. He will actually avoid supervision. I read the information contained in the aforementioned warning. Based upon that information, I moved to find that Mr. Curry violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways. I further moved to revoke his community supervision based upon the same.
Second.
Arthur Guerrera, ADC number 259264. He's waived his appearance before the board, and this is his revocation hearing. He has three allegations on warrant number 2017W3498. And the allegations read, number one, that he's in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 7, as demonstrated by his use of methamphetamine on or about July 13, 2017, for the task GCMS lab report dated August 11, 2017. The next one reads that he's in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 7, as demonstrated by his providing a urine specimen for that was adulterated by delusion and unsuitable for testing on or about September 7, 2017, per the task layout report dated September 8, 2017. And finally, that he's in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 2, as demonstrated by his failure to follow the directors of parole officer Isbala by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on about September 26, 2017, as verbally directed on August 8, 2017. You are actually avoiding supervision. I read the information contained in the aforementioned warning. Based upon that information, I moved to find that Mr. Durrell violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways. I further moved to revoke his community supervision based upon the same.
Second.
Everybody, this will end our work for this week in the bullet room, and that we had a great day and welcome. It's nice to be back, and we're just honored to have you back, sir, on this beautiful Friday.
In the board, in the board.
I've seen stacks like that before.
Well, the Thursday one, that's when we have security people to show up.
Yeah, usually they call it a pile up instead of a stack.
Well, you gentlemen, have yourself a good weekend.
And you too.
Thank you very much.
Thanks again, and we'll see you on Tuesday.
Yep.
If the creek doesn't rise, or if it doesn't freeze over, or whatever it's going to do out there.
Thank you again so much, Mr. Neal.
And you're quite welcome.
Thank you. See you at another.
I know you will. Have just a great, great weekend. Have a relaxing weekend.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Tomorrow I work the mayor's.